Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Pajama Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and yeah, it's a pajama party here, and we're coming to you live from the Hampton Inn in Norco, California, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning by Kentucky Performance Products today, and it's on the Horse Radio Network, of course, for December 2nd, 2011, episode 285. That is 23 shopping days left, people. Oh, my gosh. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning. It's Friday morning here in California.
Welcome to Disneyland, California.
Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, you heard Disney music because that's what we're doing today. We're off to Disneyland.
I have an 8-year-old as a co-host. I'm not
so
kidding.
Excited.
He is skipping through the hallways here at the Hampton Inn singing, It's
Not. Oh, I hate that song, by the way. There is one ride we are not going to do today, and that's It's a Small World, because I will just jump out of the boat into the water and drown myself.
You're doing it repeatedly. I'm just going
to
leave.
All right, if I have to go through that repeatedly, you are going through the haunted house repeatedly.
Nah. I'll do it with my eyes closed. That's the way I always do it.
We are having so much fun. It's Friday, and you should explain to people why we're saying, normally it's Freestyle Friday here on the show, but we're a Pajama Friday today.
Well, we're doing pajamas. I have no idea why we're doing
it. Because we're normally at home in our pajamas, and we've had to dress up all week.
It's pajamas. Pajamas or pajamas?
We have a mixed consensus here in the
problem.
Room.
Is it hoof or hoof?
Oh, don't start.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody's
you guys
that.
Are all wrong. All these West Coast people.
Anyway, we're having a PJ party. I have no idea why. Pretty much because we're all lazy and we're in the hotel that we're staying in, and we just walk down the hallway. However, all of our guests, most of them showed up in their pajamas, too. You do not get an excuse from a woman to walk around in her pajamas today. Especially here in Norco. God, I love these women. Fantastic. They're my people. Great.
We have a great show planned for everybody today. We have a lot of guests here, including some dignitaries from town. We have
Hold up. Yeah? Dignitaries in Norco wear Wranglers.
Yay! Cowboy hats.
Cowboy hats. It's fantastic.
We have both the mayor pro tem. I never got all that. The current mayor and the next mayor are here because
yes.
We're 1 week away from the change of mayorship.
We're having
that's
a debate
word.
Today.
Yes, here. We're having a debate. Oh, I think that's over. They've already decided. So we're going to have them on today, talk a little bit about the history. We have a lot of guests planned for you today, just like we have all week. We have to chat a little bit about our visit to Dominique's place yesterday, Zebras R Us. We had a ball out there, and we got to meet some important people out there, and we had some fun. There was a photo shoot going on. It was just kind of neat.
Yeah, I don't know if the donkey that I purchased is going to fit in the back of the trailer or truck, or should I purchase a trailer also to get it home? I don't know what to do.
I think Buzz probably has one you could borrow to take to Phoenix.
I fell in love with a donkey, and I made out with a donkey. I kissed his ass.
Yes, you basically did yesterday, and I did post pictures. I did post pictures of Jamie kissing an ass on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning if you want to see that.
Too much fun. So we got a couple announcements we need to get to before we get to our first guest, and go ahead.
Yes, the first thing is we've had many, many of you emailing and writing on our Facebook pages to ask if we're going to cover the slaughter issue that has come up this week. And the answer to that is yes. Jamie and I both have very strong feelings on that subject, and you probably, as regular listeners to the show, already know what they are. We just need some time. We're out here in Norco. We need some time to put all the facts together and also to get some guests lined up that can talk intelligently about the topic. So we're hoping to do that by the end of next week. Jennifer's going to be working on getting that set up at the beginning of next week. So hopefully by the end of next week, we are going to be covering that topic. And I hope that that helps all of you who've been writing to us about it. We appreciate your emails. We have some good news, too, don't we?
We do. If you guys remember, we had Net Posse on last week talking, and we had a lot of people call in and talk about their horses that had been stolen or recovered. And a woman named Siri Cole called in, and she actually lived in Arizona, and she had a little white pony stolen from her backyard. Somebody went in, opened the gate, took, I guess she had a bunch of horses
the
out
cutest
there, but
took
the
too.
Darn cutest yeah. little white Welsh cross pony from her backyard. Her daughter was devastated. Well, you're not going to believe this. About 45 minutes down the road, a little girl was out riding a little pony. One of the neighbors saw it and goes, that looks like pixie dust. Called the woman, called the owners of the new owners of the pony, bought it from a man down the street who had stolen it out of their yard and sold it to another family with a little girl. Is that so? First of all, great news. Pixie dust.
Yay,
go
pixie dust.
Good for pixie dust. Oh, my God, poor little girl. We need to get her a pony.
I know. We can probably find one in Norco and ship it over.
I know. Yeah, but good news is that because of social media and your emails that went out and all the Facebook postings and Net Posse, this pony was recognized by another horse person. That's how important forwarding those emails about the horses that are missing or the horses that are stolen. It is to let everybody know, and I know that message went out like wildfire, definitely, through the equestrian community. So Pixie Dust is home. Congratulations to Siri. And the good news is she's going to come on Monday at 10 Eastern to be on our show and tell us about getting the pony back.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Super. All right, everybody, we, as we said, are here in Norco, California, and we've been staying at the Hampton Inn. By the way, if you're coming to Norco, and as I said yesterday, if you're planning a trip to L.A. and you're a horse person, you have to come to Norco. You have to put that on your itinerary. It doesn't take that long to drive over here if you're not doing it in rush hour. And you need to come over and just see the town, experience it. You need to go. There's like 12 pet shops here. I mean, there's places to shop all over this town.
Yeah, I know. I went to
yeah, you guys did do some shopping yesterday.
Single one of them yesterday. Been up since. I'm got to tell the tale. Remember I told you yesterday about riding the demon horse owned by Lisa? Well, Lisa took me out and Jennifer out shopping yesterday. Well, Glenn, I'm so busy. I have to go back to the hotel and do work. Whatever. You took a nap.
Yeah, I passed on the shopping.
And
not
shop. And this woman, her idea of shopping is to stop at every single store in town. I mean, there's like 12 tack stores and clothing stores and gift stores, all horse related. But she doesn't actually shop. Is what she does is she goes and, hey, y'all, how are you? She knows everybody in town, talks to everybody in town, and it was like a 45-minute conversation at each place. I don't even think she looked on the rack, probably because she knows every single thing that's in the store at the time. And it's like, I'm like, okay, we have been up since 4 o'clock. I am starving. One more store. Just one more, and I will have you back to the hotel at 5:30. Don't you worry. 7 stores later. 7, every single time going, just one more. We've got to see this person. We had to. Social butterfly of Norco here is Lisa. She knows everybody. Everybody knows her. She walks in the store. How's your pony? How's the drill team going? Knows every detail about everybody. And I saw a sign that explains Norco. If you guys want to say it, what happens in Norco?
Everybody knows.
I love that.
Yeah, there's no what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So everybody knows. And I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. But it was a great experience. And thank you for taking this. And where do we get our pajamas, Jen? Cowgirl Boutique.
Yeah, we need to give her a shout-out. She's been posting on our Facebook page. What's her name?
Vicky
at Cowgirl Boutique. We're giving you a shout-out right now. We're going to give you a clap for you because Jamie or Jennifer is wearing this oversized shirt that says has a picture of a grumpy horse on it and says, I am not sleepy.
Yeah.
And which really fits because she's kind of grumpy this morning.
And I got these really cute little cowboy pants on, and cowboy pajama pants. And, you know, we looked a lot and – you know, the pajama market here in Norco is thriving if you're 12. And there just wasn't a whole lot for adults, so we finally found one pair of pants at the Calgary Boutique. And Vicky is a sweetheart. We were right. I know. I'm glad we stopped there.
Lisa walks in this morning before the show, and she says, is there anything you could possibly pick on me about today? And Jamie said, no, she lied.
There's always something with her. My God.
All right, let's get our first guest on here. As I said, we've been staying at the Hampton Inn, and we have Melissa here with us. Come on.
Good morning.
Good morning. It has been terrific. You guys have put us up, and we had very nice rooms. And the one thing, we, you know, when we travel for the Horse Radio Network, we always try and stay in Hamptons, because the one thing I really do like about Hamptons is they are consistent everywhere you go. And yours
is the best.
This is the
best
ever, because it's in Horsetown, USA. And it is the place to stay when you come to Norco. So when you're heading over this way to check out all the horses and to have Lisa drive you around town, she has a new service now, by the way. I'll give you your phone number later. You can stay at the Hampton, make your reservations here. How long has this Hampton been here?
This Hampton is it's newly built. It was built in 2008, only a few years old. We are actually a Lighthouse Award winner, and this award is given to the top scores as far as quality and service, and they're scored by our guests. We're part of a Hilton brand, so the standards that we keep ourselves at are high. We have to be consistent. We have to be the best. And we're the only Hampton Inn or Hampton Inn Suites that won that award out of 20 in the United States. We're the only one in California, so we're really proud of that.
Yeah. Thank you.
We also have, for guests coming in from out of town that have horses, we do have trailer parking.
That's true.
Yes, corral here too. We do have a lot of friends that would be able to help you out. We have the full hot breakfast, and we just have a lot of amenities, extras that you would expect.
I'm smelling
from
the breakfast now, by the way, and it's really making me hungry.
Thank you. Also, you know, if you want to check out Norco, there's some things that happen around the year. If you want to take a vacation, make it a family trip, we'd love to have you here. We have an April Horse Week where this town is so amazing. They do something special every day of the week. We've got Extreme Mustang Makeover.
Yeah.
In May, July, we have Day of the Cowboy.
We're going to be talking to one of the winners of the Extreme Mustang Makeover here before the show's over.
Yes, and you know this town
I'm
just
really
has a lot of spirit.
I'm really concerned about him because he seems like a character, and he also seems to be awake already. So I'm a little worried about Buzz, actually.
It's the break of dawn. All the cowboys are awake. And then in August, we have our Norco Mounted Posse Rodeo, which is huge, and it's so much fun for the whole family. Find us on Facebook. We're Hampton and Norco. You can like us there. We have a lot of promotions, especially right now with the holidays coming. You want to come to town, check us out. We have special rates, and we'd love to have you here.
Well, they've been very accommodating for the 12 times we've not taken our keys out of the room and all of that stuff. It's been, very nice about that. And I have to say, being a guy who's 6'1", and I'm sure you hate this. Jamie hates this. She's a little shorter than me. The shower head is above my head. I don't have to look at it at eye level and then bend over to get under it like some hotels.
Yes, so keep that into consideration.
It's a little thing, you know. Now, Jamie can't reach it.
Look, the buttons are at the bottom. You have to turn it off. It's been wonderful, and it's nice to stay in a nice, comfortable place. So thanks for hooking.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
We appreciate all the hospitality.
You're welcome.
And that's
we love
the Hampton and Norco on Facebook.
Yes, our number is 951-279-1111, or you can look us up at HamptonInNorco.com.
Okay, great. HamptonInNorco.com. Thank you. Let's bring the mayors up. We have the current reigning mayor, Berwin Hanna, and the other guy.
Can we call you Kevin, Mr. Kevin Mayor?
Mayor and Mr. Current Mayor and Mr. Future Mayor?
Mayor and Mayor Elect.
Mayor Elect. Okay, that's shorter. And we have Kevin here, who is the mayor elect.
Good morning.
And you're the only one sporting Horsetown USA logo wearer today.
I know how to sell the town.
That's why he's the next mayor.
Well, let's start with Berwin. You're the current mayor of the town. And how long does your mayorship last in?
It lasts 1 year.
So they want you out. In other words,
right.
No 4-year terms here. If we don't like you, you're gone in a year.
Right. You serve on the council for 4 years, and one of those years you're the mayor. We change the first Wednesday in December every year, and next week about 7:30 p.m., Kevin will become the mayor.
Okay, cool. So now, it's a pretty small town. What is there, 20-some thousand people here?
Well, we have about 24,000 people.
How many horses?
There's probably that many horses.
Yes, or more.
Or more,
every backyard seems to have six.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what are the biggest challenges of being mayor of a small town other than the gossip?
Well, the gossip, sir, whether you're the mayor or not, but challenges is I really hadn't found it to be a challenge. I really enjoyed it. You go out and promote the town and Horsetown, USA, and talk to the business people and the residents and see what seems to be bugging them and try to bring it to the council or the staff at City Hall and try to get things straightened out to make it keep it a nice place to live.
Cracking skulls.
Cracking skulls, right. Kissing babies and shaking hands.
When we were doing the trail ride the other day, this is the kind of town it is. First of all, there's more pickup trucks per capita in Norco than any other town I've ever been in.
Probably, and most of them are duallys.
Yes, exactly right.
If you notice,
duallys, that's exactly right.
The last several years, the new establishments going in that has a drive-through, they're wide enough to bring the duallys to.
Good, because most of them aren't.
Right.
And there's parking everywhere for horse trailers here everywhere you go, which is even, and there are more horse trailers in this town. Everywhere there are just horse trailers. But when we were doing the trail ride the other day, I can't tell you how many pickup trucks pulled up and the window opened and people are, hey, how you guys doing? And just, you don't see that anywhere else. The trail ride kept getting interrupted by people driving by saying hi.
Right.
Like shopping yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The visiting was interrupted by every once in a while shopping.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knows everyone in town. And that's the nice thing about 6th Street. All of our businesses, the eating establishments, the drinking establishments, they all have corrals and hitching posts out there. You can ride your horse up and go shopping or go in and have a drink. And if some of them stay too long, the old horse just takes you right on home. He knows how to get you back to the house.
Happens to you, has it?
No, I'm afraid my horse would probably go the other way.
Let's head for the hills. He won't notice.
We went to the dedication of the new arenas here, and this is probably one of the only towns, too, that has arenas of that size that are able – that the public can use, but you also have your events in it. And it really does indicate the horse nature of this town by where the priorities are. And it's the street lights, from the street lights to the clock in town has horses on it. This is a horsey town.
Right, right. And that's why it's named Horsetown, USA. That one of our council persons, Kathy Azevedo, and she's a former mayor, her first term probably about 2005, 2006. She really worked hard to get this city-branded Horsetown, USA, and that is one of our logos is Horsetown, USA, and we can thank Kathy for doing a lot of that work to get that done. And we don't usually call it Norco when we talk about it. We call it Horsetown, USA.
Yeah.
Right.
So it did get branded.
Right,
nice.
Right.
And it definitely is. I mean, we live in Lexington, the horse capital of the world, and it's a little different because we have, like, you know, huge 1,000-acre horse farms with all the thoroughbreds. Not everybody, as a matter of fact, it's a minority in Lexington of people who actually have backyard horses. Here, oh, my God, everybody has horses in their backyard. It's just everywhere.
Right, right. And when the new houses were built up on the hills, everybody was worried about that they wouldn't want animals, but you can ride up to the top of the hill there by the golf course, and you can look down all the time on the new homes. And I'd say that the horses that have moved into the new homes, they have actually stayed, and they actually increased, because you can see new barns and corrals quite often up there. So they moved in for the last – most of them moved in for the lifestyle.
Your mayor chair is? Do you think go up there and sit and, like – put your, like, rub your hands together. Mwah-ha-ha-ha. I can see the whole city from here.
Right, right.
Two corrals going up there and there.
Right, and you You can see the whole city up there from both sides of the hill. You can just about see all the way across there.
His perch is actually 6th and Temescal. You see him there every morning drinking his coffee, make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, I sat down with Buzz at his office down there.
Kevin, that chair's yours next week.
Yeah, he's a tough act to follow, too. He's been a great mayor, and he's really worked hard to keep us equestrian-oriented. And, you know, there's a fight to constantly keep that intact. A lot of people don't know this. We're the last city in the state of California. By law, you got to build on a half acre or more. 140 miles of horse trails. We're right on the Coast Crest Trail. But constantly people are trying to come in and change that lifestyle. We've been fighting, 40 years, Berwyn?
40 years.
40 years. And so it's been quite a ride. I got here in 61. And, I mean, there weren't any horses here in 1961. Basically, it was chicken farms. And we were going basically bankrupt. We weren't quite a city. And some guy named Hal Meese on Hammer Avenue said, man, what do I do with all these big properties? And he put up a big piece of paper and said, horse property for sale. And that was 1963. And there we went. So we've been fighting ever since.
Who are you fighting with when you think you're fighting to keep it the horse town that it is?
Well, you got people from Orange County, you got people that come in and they buy these big properties, and what they really are is motorhome bays, which is fine. You can have a motorhome, but
I think you can have anything from what I've seen in the drawing.
Well, we're working on that too, aren't we?
right.
Some of the concrete piles are kind of a problem, but
they tear down from their perch up on the mountain and go, those have got to go. So the Orange County people, who else is trying to?
Well, you know, it's just that people come, they see these big, beautiful houses, the big lots, and they want to move their welding company onto that lot, or they want to, they just want to change the lifestyle. They don't want to hear that peacock, because, you know, we're not just equestrian. We have peacocks. We got roosters, which are sort of in the middle of right now, but pigs and cows, and it's quite
zebras.
Camels.
Well, we got zebras. I got two buffalo right next to me. Camels, yeah.
Camels.
We got emus. I mean, you name it, we have it. In fact, in the 50s, this was actually the winter quarters for some of the major circuses. So we used to. When I got here in 61, you heard elephants. You heard all kinds of things. Giraffes. I mean, it was amazing.
What does a giraffe sound like?
I don't remember. But I know when we first got here, my mom heard a peacock, and my mom and dad ran outside going, my God, there's somebody in trouble. It sounded like somebody yelling for help. So,
well, we got to hear a really mad zebra yesterday, and boy, that's an eerie sound, too. Boy, he was not happy yesterday. We had one over there that wasn't happy.
Let me finish this real quick, because I heard you say you're doing something about the roosters.
We should touch on that boat.
I'll let him talk about the roosters.
Because I'm going to take this home and put it to my town.
Really?
Because, dear God, the roosters, they don't crow in the morning. They don't. They crow all night long, all day long. You have a dinner, breakfast, lunch. They don't care. They just crow all the time. And I was telling a story on the air not too long ago. I was sold a hen, and I brought it home, and it took about a week, and it looked at me. I mean, literally, sitting down on the ground, looked at me, and just goes, ah! I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I bought a rooster. And then from that day forward, the thing did not stop crowing. It stayed for 3 days before I could find it a home.
So, Berwyn, I think we need to expand the people that we banned from Orange County to Lexington, Kentucky.
Right.
Because she's not used to we like the crowing.
Here's an example of what Kevin was talking about a while ago about people moving in and trying to change the town. First of all, we started a charter. We put in a charter in 2003 to protect our lifestyle, our horse-keeping-sized properties and horse trails, and it takes a 4-vote to change a code or a zone. And there's a group that's having problems up in the higher elevations of our town with neighbors that have chickens. So they get together and they start a deal where they want to, it comes to council recommendation by the planning commission that we cut everybody down to 3 roosters or less according to the size of your property. Well, that's not what Norco's about. Norco's about animal keeping. You know, the guys that own the chickens or the roosters, they can do something about housing them to stop the noise. But the time we heard from 29 breeders Some of them have been here for 35 years and never had a problem with neighbors.
Well, and from what you said, the chickens were here first.
Right.
Actually, Norco was a poultry town to begin. Yeah.
And we don't know which one of them crossed the road first either, or why they did.
No better answer.
But anyway, after we heard all the discussion and all of our longtime residents and everything, we were able to pass a resolution that we still keep the number of roosters we recommended. It was recommended in the 90s, which is 25, but it gives our animal control officer an ordinance that instead of having an age limit when he declares them a rooster, the minute they crow, they're a rooster if they're 3 months old or 7 months old. So it kind of gives us a leg to stand on that. But it was a 5-0 vote to keep the number of roosters that we had, because you start changing and getting rid of animals in there, it's a downhill run from then on. Next, it'll be the horses, it'll be the cows.
Well,
it'll be
all about less rules, so.
Yeah. Right, right.
Who's going with that? Yeah, I don't know how you would say three roosters and then police that. No, we're going to have the amount of police hunting.
Well, we have a lot of free-range roosters and chickens in town, too. I mean, there's actually two between my house and Main Street up there, two little families. I usually have to stop and let them cross the road. You know, I still haven't figured out why they're going across the road. Nobody's ever come with that answer.
So how did it become Horsetown, USA? I'm really curious.
Really what happened was is that we used to have a Navy hospital here in 57, and when that closed, Norco went down the tubes. I mean, this is in the middle of nowhere. There was no freeway here. And Hal Meese, literally at the corner of 4th and Hamner, was starving. He couldn't sell a thing. So in 1961, 62, we weren't even a city yet, and he just started selling horse property, and it sort of caught on. And then we became a city in 64, and we had a bunch of Orange County people that had been run out of there, and they began to zone. It was a half acre. And in the 1965, 66, we began to designate trails, and it just kind of grew. And you know, we were talking about people trying to sort of take over. Because of the big properties, part of the reason we became a city was because you had developers that were putting, you know, 8-9 houses on an acre. Well, we kind of stopped that in 64, and we've been able somehow, I mean, it's a miracle, truthfully, to have all these trails, to have the open space. We have more open space per capita than any city in Southern California. I mean, 27,000 residents, 5,000 of whom live in our gated community, the prison. We have something.
We didn't get a tour of the prison. I'm just.
Yeah, well, that's the old Marconian Hotel. So you know, but anyway.
Community that's been.
So well, you got to sell it.
I mean, there's a reason you're a politician, my friend.
Yeah, very exclusive. But anyway, we're just constantly trying to protect the large properties from people who want to put more houses. I mean, there's always a council sitting there that they're listening to somebody saying, you know what, just rezone this part. Or just rezone that part, and so
that's when you get the mounted shooter to come out here with their guns and
yeah,
slinging them around. Change my town.
Well, guys,
that would be a ride by, not a drive
by. It's been a pleasure having you on. It's been a pleasure to be here in town. We are so enjoying it. And tomorrow, I think we get to be in the Christmas light. What's the name of the parade again?
The Parade of Lights.
Parade of Lights. We get to be in the Parade of Lights tomorrow in a carriage, which I'm totally excited about.
Good.
I don't think they're going to let me drive tomorrow, though. It's going to be killing people along the route.
Yeah, probably not. I could talk politics all day with you guys.
Before we get off here, now this is stuff that Kevin has.
Kevin is sort of the historian in
that's
town.
Right. He has written two books on the history of Norco, the Navy in Norco, the Norconian Resort, which he touched on there a while ago. His wife is a professional photographer. She does excellent work, and these books are excellent. I mean, he didn't give me one. He loaned me one to read. I had to give it back so he could sell it. But and he wanted me to present these instead of him.
He is a politician.
I guess because next week he'd be mayor, he could present it. But he's also got a CD here about Hulhauser. He came to town twice, and you was with him, spent a lot of time with him doing a little biography of Norco. Then he's got the history of the Norco, but he wanted to present this
well,
to you folks.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You could probably get him to autograph that. And it's okay, Kevin, since it's next Wednesday when you come mayor, you can go ahead and sign the mayor's name, you know. I'll give you permission.
Okay.
So there's obviously no bad blood between, like, the old mayor, the new mayor. You
no, we get along great. My only worry is he did such a great job. I don't know how I'm gonna do a better job. I mean, he was a great mayor. I mean,
we were hoping for a fist fight. You guys are, like, kissing up here.
Well, we could do that.
You know how to keep order in a council meeting. You just, remember Judge Roy Bean? Judge Roy Bean down in Texas, he always, when he held court, he had his noose hanging over the bench. Well, that's what I do when I start the council meeting. We don't have any problem in a council meeting.
Nice.
But I also have one of these sets to give Melissa over here that Kevin got for her, too. Well,
oh,
thank you. Terrific. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I think that you're staying, Berwyn, because we have Rick Wagner coming up next, and we're going to talk about the rescue situation here in Norco, because there are so many horses, you need a rescue team here. So am I correct about that? Is that
yes.
What's happening here? Yep. Okay, good.
Yes.
Now, let's introduce Rick.
Do we want to do our song first?
Well, no, we can do that a little bit later. Do you need to go? Do you need to do it now?
No.
Okay.
Rick can't sing.
That's how we play monkey.
Let's introduce Rick, because we, the other day, were chauffeured all day by Rick Wagner, who is a sergeant in the patrol division of the city of Garden Grove. So we had a police escort the entire day. That is a first for the Horse Radio Network as well. And you were terrific. You kept us safe. We didn't have to worry about anything.
Well, and you remember, too, that I mentioned this like the other day when we were riding, that we were led around by the police and the fire department. And, I mean, that's a conversation. If you can get behind a policeman and a fireman riding next to each other, it's gold. It's gold.
Yeah, not a lot of people are going to stop you at that point.
No.
You know.
No. No. We didn't have any police hassling us all day, actually.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I actually, when we were riding along, I didn't say this yesterday, but I kind of saw a shady-looking character on the side of the road. And, because I watch too much, you know, the CSI stupid shows, I'm like, Law and Order, I'm like, that guy looks shady. He's going up to that car. He's going to do something. And then I immediately tell them, they turn, spin the horses around, pay attention, they're like, all right, he's okay. And then the big...
Well,
and
the whole point of that was we had already ridden past him and weren't worried about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You did that for me then, huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
He is terrified by everything that moves.
I am.
So, pretty much. So, Rick, you're here today to talk about the rescue team. Tell us about that.
Yes, the Norco Animal Rescue Team is something that Berwyn and Buzz and Corinne and myself would all like to have an opportunity to share with you about. And Berwyn was really the driving force and one of the founding members, so I'd really like to divert to him and let him start it off.
Well, there was several of us. I mean, there was probably 12 or 15 of us. We waited until 2004 when Fire Chief Jack Fry came on board, and we formed this thing because animal control, and especially now with budget constraints, they're pretty strapped, and a lot of horses are a lot like kids. There's always one of them in trouble. So we started that mainly because in 2003 the whole southern part of the state was on fire, and we set up a camp up at Ingalls and had about 300 and something horses, wasn't it, Rick?
Yes.
We brought horses in from everywhere to get them out of the fire. So we started this team, and through the Norco Horsemen's Association in the city, we have bought lots of equipment. Like we have an Anderson sling, which you use to put on a horse to lift them out of trouble with a helicopter, which we've done twice, both in Riverside County. We go all over the county. But we have a lot of equipment. We have a lot of people on the team. We train at least once a month, and we pick our own people on the actual rescue team because everybody has to be on the same page so nobody gets somebody hurt. But we've been in some strange situations with horses. We've had them in quicksand. We've had them buried where it looked like it was impossible to get them out. We've had them under fences, in between buildings and trailers, and we've had trailers turned over with animals in them, and we've had a lot of deals that you wouldn't think you could do it. And we've had very few horses that were injured. We always take a veterinary with us, or we call one when we get on the scene if it's a bad situation. We always have some animal control officer, whether it's city, county, and we always have law enforcement, and most of the time we have fire personnel because we work under the fire department. But and by having this team with the budget being messed up all over the state, we're actually able to go out at night or when animal control is closed and our officers are off duty. Like yesterday morning, Buzz was running around the neighborhood at 6 o'clock catching loose horses because the gate had blew open. And then
I was going to ask you about that. So you guys were at work yesterday.
Yeah, and then as soon as he gets home, I get another call about one of our NART members. They have an old horse that can't get up, so I had to send him over to get Buzz, and they had helped to get the horse up. But, you know, it comes and goes. But Rick and all of them, they've been, and you can tell them about the evac part of it, Rick, what we've done with that.
In 2003, as Berwyn mentioned, on the wildfires that Southern California experienced, is our evacuation team really was formalized and started. We were dispatched to San Diego County. When we drove into San Diego County, we spent about 18 hours down there, and it was like driving into hell. It was nothing but a wall of fire. The interstate was shut down except for us. We were escorted by the Highway Patrol because it was all organized through the Norco Fire Department. And then the next day and the following week, we spent in the mountains of San Bernardino, and the 300 head that Berwyn mentioned, we also, part of that was buffalo that was out on an open range that we had to herd by foot.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Especially with a 50-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah, and that's part of the, you know, the experience that we had was fire on the property adjoining to where you're evacuating the animals from. It was that type of situations. But we have different levels within the Norco Animal Rescue Team. We have our base camp team that manages that base camp. Every animal that is brought in is numbered by a grease marker, photographed, documented. So if you were to call and say, I live in Big Bear and I lost a black, you know, 16-hand, Corinne and her crew at the base camp come through the file and go, we probably have your horse come down, take a look around. And when we evacuate animals from that kind of environment, we're writing down addresses, license plates on cars, a way to tie it back to a person and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I was wondering how you keep that all organized and put together. Now, question for you guys, what is the absolute craziest thing that you have ever had to do as far as an animal rescue goes?
I think the helicopter lifts are probably the craziest. I mean, we've had fire, you know, driving through fire. We've had the overturned trailers. But I think watching a helicopter take a horse 300 feet up out of a canyon and up into the air and drop it off at a safe landing zone that, you know, we've established is probably the craziest.
You've had two of those.
Yes.
Now, was it a horse that fell in the canyon? Was it a loose horse? Was it a riding horse?
Well, both horses had been, one of them had been ridden, and the guy got off of him, the horse escaped, and he went down in a canyon. And I think the first night he spent 100 feet below the ledge, and when we got there, he had gone down another 200 feet and landed in a tree. And they flew us in there with their equipment, and we airlifted him out. And the amazing thing, that horse had one little scratch on the rear leg. Mm. He was dehydrated from lack of water, but Buzz and I and a couple more guys have been on both of these rescues. The last one was happened to be New Year's Day in 07 or 09 or something like that, wasn't it? But anyway, he was a pack horse. Guy had came over riding through the mountains from Orange County over into Riverside County, and he come across a tree in the road, and he went to get help. Well, he said his horse went down in the deal, and he actually landed in the trees about 200 feet down, and the inmates had gone down there with chainsaws and cut out a trail. Well, our team was able to go down there and get the poor little guy and put the sling on him and fly him out, and he had one small scratch. You know, I mean, and this was quite a little rescue deal, but about 6 months later, the poor little guy died with colic. I mean, he went through all this hard times up there, spending a cold night in the mountains when it was about 10 degrees. And but those are, they're fun to reflect on. It was quite an experience. And Riverside County Sheriff's Department both times has been outstanding about bringing their helicopters in and helping us do this. And Riverside County Animal Control, they help us out because when we land a horse, we have to have just as many people there to get this horse and get the equipment off as we do down in the canyon to put it on and get him out.
Yeah, I imagine a horse that's just taking a ride 300 feet in the air for some miles really wants, when they get their feet on the ground, just to go away.
Well, you know, that's what we use a veterinary tube. We put the equipment on them, and just before the chopper drops that hook, well, they sedate them. But I'll swear, man, this is, you guys buzz, and anybody
sedate on the, me to hang me 300 feet from a helicopter, too.
Anybody was on this first rescue, we got that horse up on a piece of flat ground, put the equipment on him, and when he got 100 feet in the air, it, like, he turned his head down there and looked and said, "Thank you, guys. We appreciate that."
And first, thank you guys for doing what you do. That's just fantastic. But I must say that listening to you tell these stories, I envision something like the two of you with, like, harnesses on, like Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible, like, coming down out of the helicopter, like, bungee jumping out of the chopper. You're, like, putting on the harness around the horse. Is that kind of how it looks?
Pretty much,
yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and it's it looks
are
like...
Are you Tom Cruise?
No, that's Berwyn.
It looks like a complicated piece of equipment, but after you put it on a couple of times, it just naturally, and we do have fun reflecting and doing it. In fact, I've even got a picture somewhere of where, I don't know what Rick was doing, but somebody caught him picturing a dead run with a pig under his arm. He's never explained what he's doing with this pig.
Saving lives, my friend.
Exactly.
And Rick, you're a serious. One of the things we haven't talked about in this area is the amount of people that actually do pack and do some serious trail riding here with camping and the whole thing. And you do a lot of that in this area, right?
Yeah, all throughout the state of California, basically. I go horse camping and trail riding throughout the state.
Is the camping for you guys, is it like camping that I would like, or is it like in a tent, like getting dirty, or are you in a living quarters?
No, God made living quarters.
Ah, there you go, Jamie. Yes. That's my kind of camping.
Yeah.
Jamie doesn't do so well in tents.
Yeah, well, neither do I, and that's why I have a living quarters. Yeah.
Come to an age where you're like, I'll just take out a loan and get a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, is there a website or anything that you guys have for the rescue, or is it just on?
It's on the city website.
Okay, what's the city website?
It's, let's see. It's,
does anybody in the city know what the city website is?
Yeah, it's right here on the card.
The mayor doesn't know.
Yeah, it's ci.norco.ca. Or www.norco.com or
it's none of those.
Okay. You find it there somewhere.
The reason he got fired.
He's the mayor on the way out. He should know. You've been a mayor a year. He should know the freaking website. Okay. It's norco.ca.us.
I don't look at the website, but our rescue team is listed on that website under the Norco Fire Department. It's the NART, Norco Animal Rescue Team.
Well, you guys are...
Yeah. Kevin, the future mayor, could you please make a note that you need to memorize the website?
I bet he knew it. Already.
One unique thing I'd like to mention about the NART team, though, is in the state of California, there's an Office of Emergency Services through the governor's office that all the fire and law enforcement resources are listed under. Under that OES system, there's only three large... Oakland County Fire Department in Northern California, the Los Angeles County Animal Control, and the Norco Animal Rescue Team.
Wow, big team.
And, and based on that is if in another state, and we've been on standby before for Florida when they've had hurricanes and fires, that they were actually going to fly our trucks and trailers on military aircraft to Florida to assist them because they look through the OES databases on animal rescue teams, and we're one of three in the state.
Wow.
And that's because of the people that, you know, came together to volunteer because our fire department just couldn't staff this anymore.
And all volunteers.
All volunteers.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well,
Buzz was actually voluntold.
Yeah.
Yes. But Buzz, every day, because he has a truck and trailer and he's always around town, he passed us on our trail ride the other day going down 6th Street.
He's typically
the first call. He's the first one, or he's there anyhow.
Whether you like it or not, Buzz.
Yeah. Well, he don't do electronic communication, so if the wind's not blowing, we send up smoke signals to contact him.
You need, like, the bat signal, you know, just shoot up into the sky, the buzz signal. Be perfect.
Well, guys, thank you very much. We're going to take a break. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate you having us out here to Norco. It's been a blast.
It's been our
pleasure.
Thank
you.
And thanks for driving us around the other day and putting up with us.
You bet. You're welcome.
Thanks for your service. Both of you guys.
Well, you know, we wouldn't be here without our sponsors as well as the sponsors that have come forth from Norco. And one of our sponsor today is Kentucky Performance Products. And we're actually hoping to do a remote very shortly from Kentucky Performance Products. They've moved into a new location. They have a new office built, and she notified me yesterday about that. So we're hoping to do a Friday at Kentucky Performance Products here very shortly.
They might change their mind.
Yeah, after this. So we're going to take a break for Kentucky Performance Products, and then we have a song from Templeton Thompson called Life on Planet Cowgirl. And I know that's a favorite of a lot of our listeners, so we thought we'd play that on this Pajama Friday. And we have a couple of guests coming up that actually did wear pajamas today. One of the coolest realtors around because she wore pajamas. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more fun guests and more fun from Norco, California at the Hampton Inn. Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we talk a lot about Kentucky Performance Products, and that's because they are a name you can trust to give you the most value for your supplement money. Kentucky Performance Products offers supplements designed to target specific problems and are made with high-quality ingredients included at effective levels. The company's supplements are intended to complement, not compete, with your dressage horse's current feeding program, guarding against oversupplementation, and each product is backed by sound research and the money-back satisfaction guarantee. And today we'd like to talk to you about Nalox, the original equine antacid. It's recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen as a way of maintaining a healthy stomach, which reduces the risk of ulcers. Nalox can be given daily to horses exposed to stressful conditions or as needed when shipping, competing, or during stall confinement. You know, you can learn about Nalox and all the products at Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
Dreaming big and working hard and having faith, making sure you make the most of every breath you take. And knowing that today ain't just another day going by. And it's living every moment in the here and now. Knowing that there's blue skies back behind the clouds. Never saying never, 'cause that just ain't how you ride. That's life on planet Cowgirl. I'm grateful every day that I get to call in my world. There ain't no better place. Bring on that horizon, shooting for the moon and stars. Heading down the trail, let's travel even more. It must be a long and winding rocky road. You ain't
Well, thank you to Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. And we are live at Horses in the Morning here. Jamie Jennings and I, Glenn the Geek, are having a pajama party with Jennifer over there. She's about sound asleep over there at the producer. We've been wearing her out, not letting her get to bed at normal time. But we had a blast yesterday, didn't we?
Well, I was going to say, Templeton should play a concert for this town.
Yeah, she really should. Great horse music.
Anyway, yeah, we did. We actually got to do something. Well, you know, we had Dominique on yesterday, and she is a very unique individual. She's the one that owns Zebras R Us, where, you know, she's out here having horses, zebras in movies, and zebras going to Africa, like, to the homeland, I guess. And anyway, she's a very interesting person, so we got to go out to her place yesterday, and oh, my God.
Kid baby zebra.
Around the baby zebra. For the halter, I said, if you look on my Facebook page, we'll put it on I should send that picture to you, I guess, so you can put it on. We got to lead around a weaning baby zebra. Oh, my God. Good thing ever. Now, then we also saw the most evil adult zebra.
Yes.
Through no fault of his own, was raised by an owner who had no idea how to handle zebras and, of course, was then... You know,
and he was a fully intact
ruined,
boy, too.
Fully intact, yeah. Didn't geld him, like we said. So her job is to kind of...
Although I think Dominique was about ready to geld him herself yesterday.
She's kind of rehabbing him, and that's what she does all there. And the coolest thing was going on. They were filming a ad or a commercial or taking photographs or something.
From Hong Kong.
Yeah.
They were in from Hong Kong to, like, film a commercial.
It was really cool. So they were watching her kind of try to control the zebras and get them in between the big, scary white backdrop sheet and the camera with all the lights and the umbrella things that block the light. It was really, really interesting.
You know what I learned about that is there's a lot of executives it takes to do a small film shoot.
Yeah.
There were more executives than working people there.
Yeah. And lots of money probably, too.
But what was funny is they wanted the zebras running by in between these scary lights and the sheets and everything. On a left lead.
Yeah.
Okay, these are zebras, people.
Get them on the left lead, bring them on around. And then, of course, they're spooked, so they gallop through, and they're like, can you slow them down, please? Really?
Oh, yeah. It was
all like a year old. If you could just get them to transfer slowly through here and the left lead, that would be great. Dominique's like, okay. Happen. but it was just cool to see a little bit of Hollywood.
And we got to meet a producer yesterday. I don't remember her name. Do you remember her name?
Holly,
who was a producer for the Survivor series for 5 years, and also Super Nanny, I believe she said. And she was a fascinating woman. Jennifer and I got to talk to her for quite a while in with the favorite donkey ever. Just hanging out with the donkey in there, and it was the friendliest donkey, and this donkey would come up and hug you, just wrap its entire body around you and hug you.
Really friendly animals out there, Dominique. Friendly nine.
And they had a baby. Yeah, water buffalo. Yeah, there was a water buffalo. And a zebu, little cow. And a baby camel.
Yeah, it's a very exciting place to be. And it's just funny when you're just driving through the streets of California and you look to the right and it's like, oh, there's somebody with a big production set up. And like, there's zebras and camels and whatever else is out there. And she did say that her property backs up to a training track with racehorses, and she says that when they first bring the babies out on the racetrack and they get them galloping around for the first time, she says, you have no idea how many men have flown off a horse by the horse looking and seeing a camel for the first time on the other side of the fence. They have these big backdrops, these green screens they put up to, like, block the thoroughbred yearlings from seeing the camels and zebras. Definitely an entertaining time, and I'm going to send you these pictures, Glenn and I, hanging out with a weaning baby zebra. Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity. So that's the city of Norco for you. You never know what you're going to come up against in a day, I guess.
Well, we have Margaret here with us. Now, she actually came all dressed up and ready for the day. And Margaret...
In her pajamas.
In her pajamas. And she is a real estate agent here in town. And I got to tell you, you were ready. You're just, she had a smile on first thing this morning. I don't know if that's a realtor thing or what, but welcome to the show.
No, that's a Norco thing. That is not a real estate thing, trust me.
Well, I'll tell you what, they do feed you well here in Norco. We ate at the place called the Cowgirl Cafe. Was it Cowgirl Cafe?
Cowgirl Cafe.
Oh, my God. The portions here, all of you should be 300 pounds because they give you a lot of food here. And so we ate there yesterday, had fun there. But tell us a little bit about the real estate in Norco. If I want to get my little piece of heaven and I actually want more than half an acre, I want 3 acres. Is that possible in this town?
Oh, sure. Yeah, anything's possible in this town. What are you talking about?
Yes.
Do you want to ask anything personal before we get started, though?
No, I don't, because I'm trying to avoid that, actually, because I'm about to get in big trouble here, I think.
I'm so excited about this.
No,
are
you
can. You can. In trouble for the first time?
Yes. Not for the first time.
Lisa's over there going, shh, it's off of me for a change.
No, you can definitely get 3 acres here. You can get a half acre. You can get 3 acres. You can get 5 acres, you know? So we have. Typically, our lots are a little bit smaller, but there's definitely some larger lots out here, and I'll be happy to find you one when you want to start looking.
Well, I'll tell you what, the concession I want here is the guy who's selling gates. There are more gates used for fencing and things in this town. I want to sell the gates in this town.
I don't do the gates, sorry.
So have the house prices here in Norco been hit by the recession, I assume, so like everywhere else?
Yes, definitely hit by the recession. But I think we recover a little bit better and easier than most counties, you know. I mean, do Riverside County or a lot of the cities in Riverside County. I think we're recovering a lot quicker than most of them because this is Horsetown, USA. I mean, everyone wants to live here, and very few people really want to leave our city. Who would want to leave, right?
Yeah, there's very few places around here that you can have horses in your backyard in the middle of town.
She is a realtor, though. She is selling it.
That's right. I know how to sell Norco, Horsetown, USA.
What's the website?
It is www.norco.ca.us.
Nice! Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Horsetown, USA.
I'm going to be the mayor in 2013.
That's right. So prices here, you felt the crunch, but it's kind of come back.
Oh, yes, definitely felt the crunch, sure.
Did you have any foreclosure, short sales, all this kind of thing? Because I know that we were talking a little bit on our trail ride about a lot of people, not a lot of people, but those people experience this in my town in Phoenix as well, is that, you know, they can't take care of their horses. They just let them go. I mean, there's horses that run around the desert, unfortunately. Here, people place them. Who was telling me about that? Putting them on the down by the river so they have food and water. That's a little bit nicer than dumping them in the desert.
You do. You,
Buzz,
you find them.
We'll talk a little bit about that when you're on. But, yeah, exactly. So
yeah, you're going to find them down there. But we had a lot of foreclosures, actually. But now the foreclosures have slowed down and we've gone more to short sales. Because we no longer have, we have some debt relief, you know, programs for the sellers now, so they're not going to get hit, and that way people can stay in their houses longer. And the government has stepped in to try to help people as much as they can, but a lot of short sales right now. Really good prices on homes for sure. I mean, everyone's lost some money here who's just purchased, like I purchased in 2007, so definitely have lost some money. But, you know, what do? You just stay. You just stay and you know.
You don't want to go anywhere else.
No, you don't want to. You got to ride the wave like anything in life. You have to ride it here in the real estate market as well. And quite frankly, I think it's worth riding, especially in Norco, because I think we for sure. And our properties go pretty quickly, actually. So if you can, Glenn, you're going to have to really step up, like soon.
Yeah. And then, if he moved out here to Norco, he would not make me get up 5 a.m. to 9 Pacific time, and I would appreciate those who look.
Y'all get up early.
Christopher Critterson, do the radio show later.
Well, you know what else I found out is because of where they live, you know, a lot of them were in there over, you know, toward L.A., is they all get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to go feed their critters so they can drive to their job advocate.
That's not possible. The traffic here is horrible.
We just get on our horses and ride to work.
You could do that
here. We could do that here.
Well, so what's your website? What's the?
My website is www.margaretroca.com.
Okay.
And that's just my full name.
All right. And I have to say, I have to apologize because I fell down on the job the other day. I can't even blame Lisa for this, although I try. I was supposed to call you when we were going Christmas caroling in the evening, and I didn't do it, and I apologize.
That's okay. I'll forgive you.
No,
okay,
no,
I don't forgive you.
Don't let it slide. I'm so sorry. No. Give it to him. Go ahead.
Yes, that was awfully rude of you, Glenn, and my feelings were hurt. I cried myself to sleep.
Well, if it would make you feel better and you would like to sing us a Christmas carol right now, go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Oh, no. I think for punishment, Glenn should sing one with me.
You know what? No, we really want our listeners to stay for the end of the show.
Well, maybe what you should do is you should visit me on one of my glamping trips. How's
glamping
that?
Trip?
One of my camping trips.
Why are you calling
it glamping? Because we sing around the campfire often. So we could sing together then.
What'd you call it?
Glamping. It's glamour camping.
Oh, okay.
We actually camp in tents, though, with buddy heaters. It's very warm and cozy, and queen-size mattresses inside our tent. Like the pillow top. We're talking pillow top.
Okay, not air mattress.
Oh, of course, air mattress, yes, with a pillow top.
Oh, every time I sleep on an air mattress, that sucker deflates about halfway through the night.
Oh, don't you hate that?
You got to buy the good one.
Whack your elbow on the ground, and yeah.
Got a rock underneath my ear. It's horrible.
Well, you need to camp with me one time.
You can call it whatever you want, but it's still camping.
No, you have to.
Could you please build a Hampton Inn at all the stops we're going to be out along the way, please?
Yes, that would be very nice, actually. Especially in January.
Trails, you know.
January, it would come in handy, I have to admit.
Without internet out there, I go through withdrawal and I start to shake, and you know. Well, thank you so much for stopping by here.
Thank you for
having
me.
We really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Okay. And just remember, I just want to throw my plug out there.
Yes.
Margaret Roca is the new sheriff in town, and it would be a crime not to list your home with her.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Cheers.
I like that. That's pretty good. All right. You want to introduce our next guest?
This all I've heard about him is that he has no cell phone, he has no internet, does not have a computer, has nothing to do with, no, you can't find him whenever you want him, but he's the most popular guy in town. I don't know how that happens.
I wouldn't go that far.
We've got Peter with us, and he is the local horse trainer. I mean, every town's got to have one, right? Especially this town. And Buzz is, they say you find him with smoke signals. And he is a local horse trainer who has actually won the Mustang Makeover before. And you're responsible for a lot of the animal rescue. So first of all, welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you.
And he's a cowboy. He's not going to talk. That's all. One word answer. My God, over there talking the whole show in the audience, commenting. Gets over here in front of the microphone, doesn't say a darn word.
Nope.
Now, let's just go back to where we were. You have actually found horses that have been in the desert?
Oh, at the river, yeah. Oh, loose horses. I found horses tied to trees. I've had people call me, tell me it's a horse. Well, there was one tied to a tree for a day and a half.
Oh.
And they said, well, I think it's abandoned. And I told me to get back to the house, took it to animal control. I found horses loose. I found horses with saddles on them, no people.
Did you ever find people?
Yeah, there's been days where I found the wallet.
I didn't care about the people. I got the horse.
Oh, yeah. I found the wallet, the car keys, and I just keep following. And pretty soon I find a loose horse, and then I find the person. Because they tried to stay on.
Oh, gotcha.
They didn't quite make it. It was interesting. Is this yours? Yes.
Now, obviously, how many horses get... Like, say you're out there riding around by the river and you do get bugged. How many horses get loose on a daily, weekly, monthly basis from the owner getting bucked off or something?
Well, not always bucked off, or they're just clowning around, or, you know,
drinking.
Some guy's trying to kiss his girlfriend and falls off, or they both fall off. Yeah, I've seen that a lot. Yeah, I've caught, I don't know.
That gives a new definition to the term parking, doesn't it? When you ride it on your horses.
And you catch a couple horses a week?
a lot of time. It depends on what time of the year it is. When it gets real busy and everybody's down there clowning around, you know, they're trying to break their own, which is interesting. I've seen them jump up in trees and buck them off, or just go down through a crowd of horses and get somebody else bucked off. It's interesting.
Okay. Well, tell us about the Mustang makeover. We had Dominique on, who came in third place. I don't know if it was the same year.
No, not the same year. I did the very first year.
How long has it been going on?
3 years. And they're gonna do it again this year. And I don't know. I even entered it. I just wanted to see if I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do something different, you know.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I said, well, I think I'll enter that and I'll win it. She says, oh, I don't know about that. I said, yeah, I think I will. I didn't come up with any of the act at all. All I got was I had to get the horse and they come up with the act. You know, try to get me killed.
So you get the Mustang for 90 days and you work with it and you train it and you win the whole thing. What, is there like a super cash prize?
Well, it was a $10,000 challenge. You know, I should have went, yeah, but not enough money. We need to go to Texas. That's where the money's at. But, yeah, it was interesting. What I did with mine, I don't think anybody else has ever done.
Yeah.
I put her up on a flatbed and had somebody drive it, load her with no hands, and firing two guns and stuff like that. Just made it real different.
I've been riding my horse for 15 years. I couldn't do any of that with him.
Well, no, when we started out, as soon as the truck would move, she'd leap off. And that was my biggest concern. And just the day before.
Yeah, that's a concern.
Yeah,
I love cowboy. That was my biggest concern, that the horse was leaping off the truck and, you know, somebody might get hurt.
Oh, yeah. And she leaped off quite a few times, but she always landed on her feet. I mean, little Mustangs. She took me up a 12-foot cliff one day and didn't even lose track. Just kept on going. Hat floated up in the air. The guy was riding with me. I said, well, that was cute. Could you do it again?
You're
no.
One of the guys that did to bring the helicopter.
No, we got out on our own. They can climb a bank. They can go pretty much everywhere.
They are so sure-footed. And around here with the hills and the loose dirt and sand you have, that it's even more important to have a sure-footed horse, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the stuff that people do out here is a little... I'm getting closer.
Okay.
Talk into the mic.
I'm not used to talking on the mic. It's not my favorite thing.
Now, but, Lisa, you came over. Do you have something you would like to say?
Oh, no. I wanted him to brag about what he did in his freestyle. It was... He was in the position and had the benefit of being the very last competitor to do his freestyle. When that truck and trailer, that flatbed trailer, drove into the arena and he was sitting on the back of that horse, it was the biggest awe factor and the stands were filled with over 2,000 people. So now you have 2,000 screaming people in a covered arena with that noise, and that horse was just, it was so awe-inspiring.
Do you drug test the horses?
Well, we should take a few drugs, but I need to show.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the thing about these streams. You work with these horses at home, there's nobody around, and then in the competition itself, you're actually driving into an arena full of people who aren't quiet.
Well, actually, I took her to rodeos, gymkhanas. I carried flags on her. I ranch sorted on her. I steer stopped on her. There's things that people didn't know what to do with her. I mean, I lived with her. First when I took her home, I was 12 hours in a spa with her.
Wow.
Just touching her. And then she reached out and imprinted me right there. And that's inspiring.
I still have the imprint, actually.
Yeah.
I always thought that was an unfortunate name, actually, because of that. You know,
imprinting?
Yeah, because you can get imprinted by the horse.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people get imprinted when they go home. The shoe asks, what size shoe does he wear? And I'm like, yeah, he kicked me right there. He has a double lot. Yeah, they'll imprint you. They'll come for you.
Now, you actually also bought Dominique's Mustang that she trained that year, right?
Itchy Bitsy Spider.
And you still have Itchy Bitsy
Spider? Oh, yeah. I've been ranch sorting on it. He's not very tall. He's not very big. And my niece was out from Cutback, Montana, and she got iron roading bareback, no halter, no rope. Just having fun on him, sticking her hands out and going for it. And he just tolerates it.
Well, why would you buy her horse and not the one that's riding around on flatbeds?
Well, you were supposed to sell your own horse. So I followed the rules.
Yeah.
I did what they told you to do. And I probably should have bought her back. But, and she was, we kind of bonded up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. And I named her because the wind was blowing the day I picked her up. And the man said, well, she's being good today. I said, what does that mean? You'll find out. Okay.
Well, but do you, oh, my God, I was just about to say, do you have a website?
No, I don't.
No, I would still say that. You really have to drive down to whatever street we saw his house on down there and stop in, I think.
Well, I usually got a horse tied up front. You can find my house.
Yeah.
Contact Lisa. She'll drive around until she finds him. And if you just need some help, just contact her. Somebody, anybody in town will know where he is.
Yeah, just, they'll just point and say, he's over there.
Well, mostly what they do is they'll call somebody that knows me. And they'll have a cell phone, or people run down the street come looking for me.
Okay, I have to ask you, because in most towns of this size, there is a small coffee shop or something where all the old cowboys get together every morning and drink the coffee. Is there one of those in this town?
Well, actually, we sat in our pickups in front of Circle K.
That's
a modern cowboy.
More redneck.
Well, you know, you can sit in your own truck, you know, and have a little session, and pretty soon, I moved across the street to an open field because trucks and trailers and people, we had too many people. And Circle K said, Buzzer, are you going to sit out there for a couple hours, or how long have you been out there? So I moved across the street, and then I moved back because
they kicked him out of the parking lot. He was taking up too much room.
Right in the parking.
And, I mean, my God, you're spending 49 cents there for a couple of
hours. No, it's 89.
Oh, 89.
And sometimes they'll give a trick. No, they'll give you a free cup and move across the street.
Buzz is bringing back his, like, three-day-old coffee mug.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you'll just move across the street.
Now, you know, there's trainers and there's trainers. There's trainers of horses, and then there's trainers of people. And Buzz happens to be a trainer of both, except he prefers horses than people. So Buzz thought he was going to teach me a lesson one day.
Mm.
And he put me on one of his horses. Now, we already have the demon mare story, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, so Buzz puts me on one of his horses, and it was the most incredible experience I ever had, because when you sat on your pockets, the horse actually stopped, and he put
it
me
had
in
brakes.
It had brakes. It had brakes. Well,
you don't know what that's like.
Oh, no. No.
I rode your horse. You have no clue what brakes are unless you run them into the fence.
Yeah, that's right. So he was also giving me an equitation lesson, and I'm on this unbelievable, fantastic horse, but the horse knew where the gate was. And my job was to canter around the arena, and I had to keep it in that constant gait on the correct lead. Well, that damn horse knew where the gate was. Well, if it broke its gait, I had to start all over again. And I think you had me going around that arena.
The only one was 5 laps in the same gate.
Yeah, in the same gate. I think I was like up to 18 or something like that when he finally said, okay, Lisa, we've had enough.
Horse was getting tired.
Lisa was probably purple up there.
She was holding her breath a lot. Yeah. She wasn't used to steering and brakes.
Yeah. So I came home the next day. I actually found him. And I said, okay, you made your point. I'm out of shape. I don't know how to ride. And my horses are really bad. Okay. I get it.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Yeah. You know what? I don't know when that was, but nothing's changed.
No.
I'm just kidding you, Lizzie. You know we love you. Oh, look at that. All right, Buzz. Thank you very much.
Right,
we appreciate you joining us. I know that microphones are not your favorite thing,
No.
You were the one that everybody said in town we have to get on the air.
Yeah. Now I'm being upstaged by a woman with guns.
With a woman with guns. Walk on over here, woman with guns. We are going to end the show with deadly weapons. There's no better way to end a Friday than with deadly weapons, and that's what we like here at Horses in the Morning. You know, we have a fondness for mounted shooting here at the Horse Radio Network because the host of our, who's been on this show many times, Tammy Sront, is the host of our Western radio show, is a world champion shooter. She's won more awards and championships and belt buckles than any woman in the world, pretty much in mounted shooting. And I know, Lisa, it's Lisa Kay, right?
Correct.
Okay. Lisa's a mounted shooter here in Norco, and I know you said you know Tammy, so you know of her.
Yes.
We paint a picture that Lisa rolls in here.
Yeah.
She's about 85 pounds and about, 5'10".
Hardly.
Blonde. Everybody's tall.
Do I hear a little jealousy coming out there?
I'm painting this wonderful picture. This gorgeous woman comes in wearing camouflage and handguns. I like her.
So now, the mountain shooting, is it popular here in Southern California?
Yes, it is growing. It actually started here in Southern California. It started at Rahagi's, which is our home arena. And Saf's used to be at Rahagi's. And they used to have the Enda Trail there, which is now in New Mexico. And there was some guys that came out with guns and horses. And what they would do is they would let the balloons go and they would shoot them in the air.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah. And that, but it was hard because.
Like skeet shooting with balloons.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of how it started.
Not in the covered arena.
No. We have shot in the covered arena. We usually shoot in covered arenas, and it's a little louder in covered arenas. So the little Mustang that Buzz broke, I mean, that's pretty impressive for a young horse to go and be standing on the back of a trailer and shooting guns in a covered arena. But, yeah,
I mean,
the horse...
They do that all the time because you're using blanks. You're using black powder that shoots out about, what, 10 feet, 10, 12 feet?
20 feet.
20 feet.
Yeah, 20 feet.
And it's dangerous. So, I mean, you're...
It's a long shot at 20 feet, but yeah. The best is, like, 8 to 12 feet is the best distance to be, because if you're too close, you can also miss a balloon. So, basically, now how they're set up, they don't shoot them in the air anymore, is there's 10 balloons. There's 5 of each color. You have a light and a dark balloon, and you use 2 guns, and you have... They're 6 shooters, the regular 6 shooters, and you load them with 5. So it starts on the blank, and then when you first cock, it rotates to the first bullet. So there's no room for error. You only have, 5 balloons and 5 bullets. So you shoot the first 5, holster that gun, pull your other gun, and shoot the other 5.
All out of
and
the
it's,
run.
And it, yeah. It, well, you, it, there's levels. The great thing about this sport is you can start as a level 1 and go all the way up to a level 6. And which Tammy is. And you can, I mean, there's 3 generations to do this. You have the grandkids, the parents, and the grandparents. It's an awesome sport. It's one of the best, I think, family equestrian sports out there, because little kids can go out there as a wrangler. That's 12 and under, where they're not shooting a gun, but they can carry a cap gun or use their finger and ride their ponies or horses or whatever. And it's still horsemanship because it's a pattern that they're having to ride controlled through. Mm-hmm. And it's time. So, of course, the faster they go, the better. The little kids are out there with their little whips on their ponies. It's really, really cute.
Fun.
Yeah, it's like barrel racing and a gymkhana kind of combined with guns.
Orange.
Yeah, and so you can go out there as a level 1 and you can do a pretty little Western pleasure lope through, the course and shoot your targets.
But you still have to have a horse that can take gunfire from its back.
That's where Buzz comes in.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, look at in the Old West, they did it all the time and the horses usually come around to it. And actually, a lot of them really, really enjoy it. And my husband's horse, his ears are forward the whole time, and he is wanting to get those targets. He just loves the sport.
My question is, what happens the first time? Like, we can see you guys all on the train doors. How do you...
You acclimate them. You acclimate them slowly. You don't just get on them and shoot off of them.
No,
I actually did on his horse when I went to try him to buy him, and he was actually my horse, and he stole them from me. But I asked the gentleman that I bought him from, I said, can I shoot off of him? Because I had ridden him around and I liked his personality and stuff. And I took my guns out. We were out in Marietta and they had 5 acres. So we kind of, spread out a little bit. And I just popped off 3 rounds off of him and he just stood there. And he's never had a problem with it. But then you have some horses that will, jump or whatever. But the best way to do it is acclimate him slowly, bring him to shoots. Tie them up, let them listen to it, just bring them and tie them and just let them listen to it a few times, set balloons on them, get them used to the balloons and the patterns and all that. And
do you wear hearing protection?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We do have earplugs that we use. In fact, I brought some, but they're in my vest there if you want to see them. I brought this coffee cup. I think my husband hid mine because he wanted to show off himself here, but there's just some pictures of him shooting on his horse, Smokey. And he didn't even ride 2 years ago when we started, 2.5 years ago when we started doing this. He didn't ride. He was a hunter, and he liked guns. And I was a rider and hadn't really handled guns a lot. And when I told him I wanted to try it,
marriage.
It's gotten better. It's gotten better because I turned my country boy into a cowboy.
Yeah.
Another case where the horse husband takes over the hobby.
That's right.
Got another one, girls.
Yeah.
Now, you have... One of the things I do like, and then, Jamie, are they unloaded, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, Jamie and I want to play with
but
the guns.
But you know what? You should always...
I'll play with their guns.
You should always check. Yes. That's the first thing we teach our students.
And if I knew how to move it, I would check.
Yeah, okay. See this right here? You just open it up. And then rotate it around, and you'll see.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we're empty.
Yeah.
We're good.
You're supposed to, like, flip mm-hmm. it over and...
They're actually.
And what are the guns? What are they here?
These are Ruger Vaquero Montados, and these are actually made for mounted shooting.
45 caliber.
Yeah, 45 caliber. They have the Beasley hammer, which is see how it's turned down
because
the regular guns kind of come up a little higher, so it's easy to get your thumb on. These are really good guns for women because we don't have as big a hands.
Well, I got to tell you though, they're heavy.
They are
heavy.
But you get used to them.
Yeah.
And the adrenaline, you know, once you cross that timer, you don't even think about the weight of the gun.
Now, one of the things, too, and it was so funny, and I've told this story before, the first time we met Tammy, she was in the Lexington of the World Equestrian Games, and she had brought her trailer and living quarters and everything. And the first time we had met her in person, we walk into her living quarters, and she goes, "You want to see my guns?" She was pulling guns out of every part of the living quarters you could imagine. There were guns in the refrigerator. There were guns in the oven. There were guns under the mattress. There were like a dozen guns scattered all over living quarters. Is your house like that? You have guns everywhere?
Well, yeah, they're all mounted shooting guns, but my husband has a lot of guns.
Yeah.
But we have three sets. You know, we're going to win a set this weekend because we're actually on our way to Phoenix right now, which if we'd have known, we'd have thrown your donkey in the trailer. And taken.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
It's a ride home.
Yeah.
Are you going to help me deal with the divorce when I get home?
No.
If I bring home a donkey, I'm pretty sure. We can try, though.
Yeah.
I like the sport, too, and we've seen a number of men at a shooting events, and one of the things I like about it is the nostalgia. The competitors, many of them really get into dressing up like the Old West, and it just brings back, you know, the movies of the Old West and everything. It seems to be a thing with the mounted shooters really to play the part.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some people like to dress. We have, like, the cavalry classes and rifle classes as well, and the cavalry, of course, they dress, you know, in the cavalry. You know, you can wear the Old West stuff. You can wear the skirts. And if you wear a skirt, you don't have to wear a hat. So Tammy likes to do that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a pain when you're going, you know, full speed out there. So there's little tricks to do that. You usually have to have a really well, you know, made hat, custom fit hat in order to really keep it on. But, you know, I'm kind of a jeans kind of girl. I have worn skirts before on my mare, but I usually wear, you know, the jeans and the chinks and the boots and the hats and, you know, the fun thing about it is, you know, women like to do the bling thing, you know, so we get to, you know, bling out our shirts and, you know, wear chinks with, you know, bling all over them. And, you know, it's just fun to dress, you know, girly out there. We bling our horse out, you know, with the breast collars and the head stalls and all that. So it's not all Old West, but it's, you know, you can do either or. But, you know, you have to wear your hat and your chinks and your you know, jeans and button up shirt.
Do horses still have 2 ears? Just
curious. Yes, okay. Actually, I have not shot my horse in the ear yet.
Okay.
I did shoot one in the mane.
Is it common?
And my husband shot my husband shot himself in the groin.
Oh! All right. And he is so happy you just said that depends on the world.
I think. I like being behind this microphone and having him sitting over there.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
There's power there, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Did you continue the competition, or was there? Yeah.
His
potty says.
Yeah, his chinks protected him. Thank God for that.
Didn't he shoot and stuff? Did he say he was a hunter before this? The gun thing should have been the easy part, right?
Yeah, I know. Surprisingly, I think he misfired a lot more than I did in the beginning. I was a little bit more cautious.
Yeah.
You didn't have that. You had that fear factor going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it is dangerous. You know, we don't want to underplay that because Tammy has shot herself in the hand, and you know, she has the burn marks still to this day to prove it. It is dangerous, that black powder coming out. You don't want to be within 5 feet of that.
No, we will do a demonstration when we work with our students, and we'll take an empty Coke can and shoot it at close range, and it puts holes through the can. So it's one thing that we do teach safety. It's very, very important.
Yeah, because they think they're just blanks and nobody's going to get hurt, but you can get hurt.
Yeah, there's fire coming out of that gun.
Yeah. And when you see the pictures, it's amazing how far the fire does come out of the end of the gun.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it does. It does. And it's really cool. We get some really cool pictures out there where it's like half of the balloon is popped and the other half's still round. And it's just that timing that's just so impeccable that the photographers get. It's pretty cool.
Well, Tammy says that she always says this. She says, you know, I may be one of the most dangerous women on horseback, but I cannot hit a balloon to save my life if I'm on the ground not moving. Are you the same way?
You know what? Sometimes you go out there and you psych yourself out because there's so much mental in this game. And you'll go, okay, I just need to shoot clean. And so you'll slow down. And sometimes when you slow down, it puts you off. It changes your timing, so you end up missing a balloon. And if you'd have gone the speed that you're used to going, you'll get all your targets.
So
your chances are better.
What is the competition in Phoenix that I can look out for?
This is our Border Wars, and it's
probably down on the border. Then it's the Mexicans against the Americans. I didn't
know
we were doing that now.
It's Nevada, Arizona, and California. It's the three states that are competing against each other. And last year, California brought the trophy home. So we're hoping to bring it home again, but we don't have as many shooters because Arizona has a bigger club and they have a lot more shooters going. And the California, you know, we've got about 20 of us from California going. So it's going to be a little harder this year.
So where is it? Yeah.
Hey.
So where's the competitions? And because we'd love to follow it and kind of see what happens and see what state wins. Go Arizona!
Yeah. Well, it's in Phoenix. It's at the Ben Avery. Do you know where the Ben Avery shooting range is?
I know where nothing is.
Yeah, it's on Carefree Highway.
That is.
It's a shooting range, and they have an arena that was dedicated actually to mounted shooters. So that's one of their home arenas, and we are practicing tonight. Our horses are outside in the trailer, loaded and ready to go, and we're leaving straight from here, and we have a practice tonight, and then our competition starts tomorrow, and it's just 2 days.
Okay.
So we are hoping, both of us, to bring a buckle home and some money.
Well, good luck with that, and good luck with all the mounted shooting in the future, and thanks for coming over here. And the only thing scarier to me than Glenn holding those guns was Glenn driving the Halflingers the other night through the streets of Norco. So we survived both.
And they actually have carts and guns, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, they do. They used to. It's there's still a few people that do it, but you're actually, you know, pulling a cart and riding through patterns and shooting your guns.
Nice.
Too.
But
yeah.
They're not getting new ponies.
So does the driver doing the shooting, or is it they have a guy riding shotgun?
They have a guy riding shotgun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Well, thank you so much. Is there a website for you guys?
Yes, it is SoCalCMSA.com.
SoCalCMSA.
Yeah, and that's for Southern California. If you don't live in California and you're interested, it's just the CowboyMountedShooting.com. And you can just Google Cowboy Mounted Shooting, and it'll come up. And you can go on their website, and they'll you can look for local clubs in your area.
Well, thank you for coming out and for bringing your weapons along and looking all cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. The tiniest, prettiest ones are the most dangerous.
That's true. But we have to wrap the show up. We're plain running out of time today. And besides, I have to go to Disneyland. So, sorry, people, I'm out of here to go see the Mickey.
It's the world of cheer.
Thank you so much, everybody from Norco, for having us out. It is
world
a
after
blast.
All.
Keep it going. It's been
it's
a blast.
A small world
after all. Thank our sponsors today, the Hampton. And we have to thank Realtor Margaret Roca and Ballard Saddle for having us out here today. We appreciate all of them.
Saddles are, I went and looked at them yesterday. Oh, my gosh. So beautiful. And they even had, like, one of the Mexican Charles saddles covered in silver and embroidered. Just
gorgeous, and for $5,000 it could be yours. Okay. That pretty. But yeah, very good. So Ballard's and of course, thanks Dominique Cesar-S for letting us come on busy yesterday.
Thank you, everybody, for all our guests today, all the sponsors. Thanks to Kentucky Performance Products for being a loyal sponsor for all of these years. We appreciate that. We're going to be back again Monday morning live from home, from the studios at home, with a regular kind of show. And we also want to thank, I know Diamond Wool Pads was involved as well, so we want to thank them also. And we had Kathy posted on our Facebook page underneath the picture I put of Jamie and I with the baby zebra. She put cuteness in stripes. Hey, Jamie, did you get that jacket at Thrifty Horse? Looks good, because Jamie and Jennifer were sporting some pink, bright pink jackets yesterday. And answer, Kathy, is yes. They were kind enough to give those jackets, so they were cool as well. We are looking forward to coming back to Norco someday and having more fun here in town. It's been terrific. Thank you so much, Lisa, from First Time Events for being... What's your website, Lisa? FirstTimeEvents.com? Mm-hmm. FirstTimeEvents.com. We've picked on you all week. You have been so good to us. And then we get on the air and we...
That last comment, by the way, I'm not going to let that go.
What?
Don't you worry. She knows what I'm talking about. That last comment you made, we'll get him back in Disney World. He's going to ride It's a Small World 47 times in a row.
All right, there will not be a live show on Monday because I will have killed myself.
You guys,
my apologies to the mouse, but It's a Small World should be outlawed.
Oh, my gosh. My dad said it. That was my favorite ride when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Peter Pan. I've grown up so much. No, seriously, everybody in Norco, you guys, have just been warm and welcoming and fantastic horse people. I've been impressed with, you know, you just never know what you're going to find. And I've been impressed with everybody's horsemanship and everybody's horses except for Lisa. Have been fantastic. No, just kidding. But
I'm cheating off that horse.
Awesome. There you go. We'll do that together. But you guys have all been fantastic. Everybody that has come on the show has been great and funny and welcoming and warm, and we've had a great day. And shopping has been fantastic. The horses, the riding, it just couldn't have been any better. And you know, everybody, round of applause to Lisa.
Yay!
All of our sponsors, thanks for bringing us out. And of course, Kentucky Performance Products for bringing the whole show to us as we do every
And
day.
If you're in the area tomorrow, the parade is in Norco at 5 o'clock, everybody. 5 o'clock. So wave, say hi. We'll be in the parade. So we hope to see you then.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday from our respective homes. I'll get a little more space from Glenn. Not going to be 2 feet away anymore. Everybody have a great weekend. Please spay, neuter, and geld.
Be a Disney, Jamie.